Because looks are everything. Get down.
The Autobright Direct Podcast.
Hello. Welcome to another episode of the Autobright Direct Podcast. So, who have we got in the room with us today? Nobody, apparently.
Hello.
There you go.
No one, because Kev hadn't turned the mics on.
Kevin.
Adam's mic was on, it's just you, we didn't want to hear from you.
Yeah.
Well done, Kev.
You're welcome.
Great start, Kev.
It's good.
I think I ought to go back on the decks.
It's one of them weeks.
Dale on the buttons.
No buttons. It's been a great week so far.
So who's in the room then, Kev?
Well, I think you pretty much introduced yourself, haven't you? So on my right-hand side, I've got Adam over there, being unnaturally quiet.
Look, he's waving.
Is he? I can't see.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're there.
It's Mr. Chips.
And on the left, we've got Dale again.
He's always here.
I'm not always here. He's here nearly as much as the chair over there.
Yeah.
And right in front of me, I've got an empty chair. So
he's missing.
No Mark again. He's off on his holly bobs.
Gallivanting.
And he's caravan.
What are you trying to do there? Press the applause button then.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't press it from over there. Do you want to press it for you?
No, it's okay.
Missed the moment.
Moment's passed. So why are we here, Kev? Why have you dragged us up to this podcast? I'm double busy.
If I recall, I think it was you that dragged the rest of us up.
I wasn't.
You wanted to get it done. So basically what we want to talk about, guys, is obviously with the weather changing a little bit. I know obviously it was really, really hot for a while and then it went pants. That's in a bit. What we want to talk about is winter preparation and winter maintenance. So, you know, what you can do to prepare your car and protect it during the harsher winter months and how you can effectively maintain that.
Oh, winter's harsh anymore.
Well, they always say it's going to be the worst winter for 20 years and then it's a really mild one, isn't it?
Load of salt down and then it never snows. Mm.
Yep.
Oh, no, we very rarely get snow now, do we? It's normally just salt and rain.
Salt and rain.
Yeah, dreary, all over the drizzly. Car.
Rain salt.
Yeah, rain salt.
Rain salt. Does it wash it away?
Is it salt, Kev, or salt?
Salt.
Oh, okay.
Salt.
Why? What's wrong with salt?
Salt.
Salt. Not salt.
Salt.
Road salt.
Yeah.
Okay. Salt. Anyway, enough about salt. So yeah, obviously the biggest challenges for, you know, facing your car throughout winter are road salt. And adverse weather conditions, obviously, you know, there's a lot more dirt around. You're doing less maintenance normally. Most people, let's face it, don't want to be outside washing the car when it's -3. It's too cold. So it's important to prepare the car properly, get yourself a decent level of protection on there, which is going to protect all the surfaces, and then make it easy to clean when you do actually get around to cleaning it. Yep. So have we got a few questions regarding this? I think we have, haven't we?
Should we start
with the questions first?
Well, then.
Okay, so first question I've had is off Mark, and not the Mark that works here, although I hope he knows this answer, so Mark's talking about he's had a new set of wheels fitted to his car. He wants to protect these for winter because he doesn't want to remove them and fit a separate set of wheels for winter. So he's asked, when he's prepping his wheels for winter, should he remove them from the car and prep them that way, or can he do it with the wheels in situ?
Well, he can do it either way. It's a personal preference, isn't it?
Well, you can do it either way, yeah. It's going to be more thorough if you do remove them. Because obviously you can seal the inside of the wheel, seal the back of the spokes. A lot of wheels, when you see wheels that have actually started corroding, they normally start corroding from the edge of the back of the spokes and then goes forwards. So if you can take them off, get them thoroughly clean. So obviously your preparation would include your normal wheel cleaner. So wheel cleaner, floor light remover, tar and glue remover, clay bar, and then you can then protect them with either a you know, wheel sealant like blends or ceramic coating would be the best, most durable protection. Yep. But by removing them, that's going to make it a lot easier to get into the inside. You can also do your inner arches while you're there as well. Yep. So you can apply protection to like suspension components. So engine protectant is really good for that. If you've got the opportunity and the time to do it, I'd recommend taking them off. If not, then obviously you can attempt to do them on the car, but it will be a bit more difficult.
Yeah. I mean, I'm guessing a lot of people will leave them on the car, won't they? A lot of people sometimes haven't got access. If they've only got the little jack, what they get with the car.
Yeah, I mean, so it depends.
It still can be done, but obviously it's more work and a bit more fiddly, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you're never going to be sure that you've got the entire rear of the face of the wheel, or if you're doing them on the car. And obviously, depending on the car that you've got, if you've got big brakes, you ain't going to get your hand around the inside of the rim of the wheel. So taking them off does make more sense. Mostly when we tell people, you know, when people are buying new wheels, you are probably better off doing them before you fit them.
Yeah.
So before you fit them to the car, you know, give them a good clean, get them thoroughly protected. Ceramic coating is obviously the best option. Fit them, and then you can sort of forget about them for a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. That's what I did when I had mine repainted before they went back onto the car.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, got them protected.
I mean,
that's the first time you had them painted, the second time.
Second time.
that would go for all year round, though, if you're having
your
wheels off anyway, won't it?
Yeah, if you
if you're going to take them off at any point, it makes sense to do them while they're off, doesn't it?
Yeah,
that's it. And like I say, if you're ceramic coating them, then realistically, you're not going to have to do that very often.
Nope.
So, you coat yours?
Not ceramic.
Blends.
With blends, yeah.
We're talking about a winter prep beer, though, Kev, so... You know, if someone hasn't got the facilities to do them indoors and do them outside, ceramic might not be an option to do, might it? So, would supersonic or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, we're sort of probably getting ourselves ahead of ourselves a little bit in terms of protection. But yeah, you know, supersonic will work. Obviously, it's not going to be as durable as ceramic. Or my probably preference would be if you can't ceramic coat them, would be to apply blends. So blends, wheel sealant, two coats of that. That should last you easily through winter. And then hopefully you can just reapply it then come sort of spring, summer.
Well,
that brings us on to a question that we're going to answer later. So to begin with then, in terms of prep, obviously your preparation is the key part to making your winter protection last. So needs to make sure, obviously, you do your normal safe wash technique. So, you know, clean your wheels thoroughly, do all your normal safe wash techniques. So pre-washes, snow foam, two-bucket wash, decontamination. So decontamination is an important part of this process. If you don't decontaminate the paintwork, you're going to run the risk of reducing the durability of the protection. So claying, fallout remover, get the paintwork nice and clean, get nice and smooth, and then you can choose your relevant protection.
I think Adam's got a question about claying, haven't you, Kev? Aren't you? Kev? Sorry, Kev, I do apologise.
Thank you.
Me you're apologising to.
No.
So I'd got a question from Alan.
Alan.
It's
not Alan from Technical Brands, is it?
It's not. Basically,
shout out Alan if you're listening.
Yeah.
He basically asked, is it necessary to clay bar for winter prep? I think obviously you've just answered that by saying you will get a better protection.
It's definitely necessary unless you've recently done it. So if you know, for example, if you've only just bought the car in, I don't know, July, August, and you clayed it when you bought it, then you're not then going to have to do it prior to winter. But claying does serve a second purpose as well as removing the old protection.
Yes.
So if you bought it in summer, you applied a summer like a show wax or something that's high gloss but not that durable, you want to remove that before you then try and apply a durable winter protection.
Yep.
So I would always advise claying it anyway, unless you know for a fact that it's recently been done and whatever protection was on there is more or less failed anyway.
I know what a lot of people are going to ask after that. They're going to say, well, my car got ceramic coated in summer, so what winter prep would I need to do if it's already protected with a 3 or 5 year ceramic?
In terms of winter prep, then you would basically just clean it as normal. The only thing that you may want to do differently is maybe use a chemical fallout removal like Purple Rain. Just to make sure there's no iron contamination that's bonded to the actual ceramic coating. And then realistically, you could just use a product that would add maybe a little bit extra protection. And that would protect the ceramic coating throughout the winter as well. So something like Supersonic Quick Detailer, that would work pretty well to finish.
MagiSeal, would that?
MagiSeal, yeah. So basically what you need is you put in a sacrificial layer of something over the top of your ceramic coating, which will help to protect the ceramic coating then throughout the harsher months. Realistically, you don't actually have to do anything other than normal washes. But if you want to add something, then, you know, add a little bit of extra protection to sacrifice through the winter months.
Just prolong your ceramic life.
Yeah, yeah.
Makes sense. Mm-hmm. I've got a question from Mike. He's asking for winter prep. I suppose it could be any time, really, but he has said winter prep. Hot or cold water better when it's like colder days?
So this is a question we get asked a lot. And this question actually applies not just to washing, but it also applies to snow foams as well. So do you use hot water or cold water? Well, the answer is really personal preference, to be honest. In winter, we do say that you might want to put a little bit of warm water in your bucket, and that's nothing to do with, you know, adding any sort of extra cleaning powder or whatever.
Keep your hands warm, Kev, because you're...
it's basically just to take the edge off. So, you know, if it's 1-2 degrees outside and you're putting your hands in a freezing cold bucket of water, pretty soon you can probably end up with frostbite. So we say that, you know, if you want to add a little bit of lukewarm, not boiling water, to the bucket just to take the edge off, that's fine. If you use hot water, so, I mean, again, years ago, I used to use hot water. You know, I used to fill my shampoo bucket with hot water. What that does is it doesn't actually offer you any benefits in terms of extra cleaning power. It might mix your shampoo a little bit better, but what it'll do is it'll evaporate quicker. And you will notice that, especially in winter. So if you apply hot water to a panel in winter, you'll see it evaporate, you'll see the steam. What that does is that dries out your shampoo quicker. So it's actually a negative thing to have hot, you know, water that's too hot. Similar to snow foam, I mean, obviously a lot of people use hot or warm water to mix the snow foam. Again, works well for mixing, but it's actually been replaced with cold water within the first minute or so of using it. So it doesn't actually make much difference to the overall outcome. So I would go with cold water most of the year round, and then add a little bit of lukewarm water for winter just to make it a bit more comfortable.
What if someone's got like a, I know some people do have a hot and cold tap outside, what about just like a pre-rinse? Would you in winter, would you use cold water just for that? For your jet wash?
It depends on your setup, doesn't it? So yeah, I mean, if by all means, if you've got a heated pressure washer or you've got access to outdoor hot water supply, then yeah, you could use hot water for your pre-wash. We do when we're doing jobs here in winter. So if we get a car and it's quite dirty, we'll citrus and then you use the jet wash on hot setting to rinse it off. But most people aren't probably going to have that facility. But yeah, there wouldn't be as much of an issue with using it for a pre-rinse as there would for a wash, because you're not allowing any product to dry on the surface.
So there you go.
There you go.
Yeah, that does lead me on to another question, as you're speaking about hot and cold. So we had another.
What's up with us?
We're doing well today.
I know, yeah. Really.
It's nearly Friday.
We do apologise, folks. Yeah. We are sorry.
Put my teeth back in. So I had another question from Daniel, who has said, can I use all of my products in the cold weather? So say he's missed his start of winter prep when you would usually...
He's missed it.
Yeah, he's missed it, and he wants to start prepping as it's getting colder.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there's certain products of ours that we kind of don't advise using or storing in cold temperatures. So can he still use them at the cold temperatures?
Well, I mean, storing and use, obviously, two different sort of areas. So in terms of storing, then I would recommend anything that's susceptible to cold temperatures. So mainly the ceramic shield range.
Yep.
So your ceramic shield shampoo, your MagiSeal and your Ultra Spray Wax, they are products that I would definitely want to store indoors in winter.
Yep.
Things like Abyss and stuff like that, not really an issue, to be honest. What you're going to find is any products that, you know, if a product freezes, obviously if it gets really cold, then you're not going to be able to use it because it's frozen.
Yeah.
But in terms of use, all you've got to be careful of really is if you're outdoors and it's cold and you're working on a car that's been sat outside, you know, overnight or whatever, mm-hmm. whatever the air temperature is, that panel can be even colder.
Yes.
So we have done it on cars in the past where we've had no alternative, like we've been training or whatever, and you know, it's been really cold. I have seen things like Just a Tonic freeze as it hits a panel. You see snow foam freeze. So if you're getting to the point where products are freezing as they're hitting the panel, it's too cold. I wouldn't be recommending washing or doing anything in that sort of temperature. Best thing to do, I mean, again, this takes us through to the sort of maintenance part, is if you need to wash it or if it's that bad that you need to get the dirt and the grime off, you're better off just putting something like citrus on it,
yep,
giving it a rinse, not worrying so much about, you know, water spots or anything like that. Yep. You're just getting rid of the road salt and the grime.
Yeah. So obviously, if the for whatever reason hadn't had time to do their winter prep stage in the warmer days before the lead up to winter, and they wanted to try and get it done, but it was a bit cold, you'd wait until it warms up a few degrees.
Basically, what you've got to do is you've got to pick, obviously, it's not going to be a warm day,
yeah,
but you've got to pick a day where it isn't absolutely, you know, brass monkeys outside.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm, anything sort of around about 4, 5, 6 degrees, you know, might be all right.
Yeah.
If you're looking at temperatures of like 2s and 3s, I wouldn't be risking washing.
Yeah. Excellent.
You'd probably be better off as well, like sort of midday when it's going to be at its highest.
Yeah, yeah.
More than likely, you know, later afternoon, so early morning.
It's the opposite of washing in summer.
Exactly.
So, you know, you don't need it first thing in the morning, you don't need it last thing at night. It's got to be sort of midday, like say, where the sun's at its highest, if there's sun and it's not raining.
Yes. Which,
you know, in this country, let's face it, it's probably going to be raining.
If it's raining, though, it's probably warmer, so...
Yeah, that's it.
Maybe. You get wet, and cold and wet then.
So I've got one final question. I don't know if any of you guys got any more. I've got one here, final one, from a guy named Kev. It's not you, is it, Kev? Are you?
Maybe.
Have you asked a question?
It's how I get all my information.
Basically, he's saying, will one prep last all winter, or would he need to do like another prep?
Okay. I think that might have been
halfway
Kev
through. Yeah. Sounds like a Kev question, doesn't it?
Well, your preparation process is going to last because you're not going to need to re-prep it at any point during the winter. What you're going to look at is what protection you've put on there as to how long it's going to last. So, again, it depends on what you use. If you use, a standard durability, so like a 3-month cart wax, you know, a standard wax, that may not last through winter because of the... again, it depends if you increase your washing as well. So some people will wash more during winter to keep it clean. Obviously, you've got the road salt and stuff as well. But if you use a sealant that's got a decent durability, you probably find that will last you all through winter. So your next sort of prep process would be come spring, summer.
So something like top gloss ain't going to last him, is it?
Top gloss is only a short durability product anyway. But again, if you're washing on a weekly basis through winter and you want something just to add a little bit of protection and a little bit of shine, then yeah, top gloss will work fine. But my recommendation would be to put something durable on first, which will make washing easier, and then you can use your top gloss just as a drying aid, just to help you dry it off and, you know.
I think the trouble is when you want to wash your car every week in winter, you run the risk of 1 week you might not be able to wash it because it's too cold.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is the thing. So if you put a decent level of protection on there, you haven't got to then be worried about maybe washing it, you know, every week. Or, yeah. I mean, again, depends on where you drive and what you do. You know, some people who drive for a living, you'd never keep your car clean in winter because you're going to be washing it every day, aren't you?
That's
see some of the cars that go up and down the motorway in the winter months and you're like, Jesus, can't even see the number plate. But if you put a decent level of protection on there, it makes the washing process quicker and easier. Yeah, I mean, like I say, preparation-wise, you normally do it twice a year. Claying, realistically, unless you're doing a lot of miles, probably only needs to be done once a year. But your chemical decon, you know, like your Purple Rain and stuff, do that as often as you want.
Cool.
Keep your car.
Has anyone got any more questions?
No, that was me done. I've only picked the one this week.
You've only picked one?
I've only picked one, though. Okay. I have to save them.
You know, save them.
Put them together. And
save them up.
I will have to... organise them to the relevant podcast.
So what about glass preparation then for winter curve and, you know, maintenance and sealing?
My car really suffers in the winter. One, because...
it's French.
No, not
because
it's
don't like cold
French.
Temperatures.
No.
Because it's a Clio.
No. One, obviously with all the salts just coming off other drivers in the wet conditions onto the front window, so... even sealants and stuff like that don't last long, and you're forever using windscreen wash anyway.
Get yourself some shield.
Yeah, it just...
when you get yourself some shield.
Well, I try it in the winter. I'm all right at the moment. But also, I have no rear wiper on the back.
Double price for you.
Yeah, thanks. I'll give myself...
Is that because it just fell off because it's a French car?
No, it's because I took it off because I didn't need it.
You did
need it, didn't you? Really?
Yeah.
Rear wiper delete.
I do now, yeah.
Because you think you're cool.
Cool.
It is cool. It's very nice to have a rear wipe delete until winter.
Until
and
winter,
you can't see out your back window.
Yeah, it was all right until the spoiler went on. So the diffuser picks up the dirt and then the spoiler rolls it in like a circle at the back, and then it just drops.
Creates like a vortex, does it?
Yeah,
a vortex of dirt.
Drops everything on the window, so you can't see through the back.
Yeah,
so,
no one cares, Adam. just carry on with the question.
So what
anyway,
prep?
What was your question?
So what prep would be for the glass for the winter?
So your prep for your glass is basically the same as a prep for your paintwork. So thorough clean, give it a good clay, because what people don't realise is contamination in terms of like fallout and stuff will actually stick to glass, just like it sticks to paintwork. The advantage of glass is you don't need to be quite as careful when you clay, because it's very, very difficult for you to mark glass with a clay bar. Unlike paintwork. So you want to clay it, whether that means you use a coarse grade clay to get it done quicker if it's really badly contaminated, or you use a fine grade if it's not that bad and it's had some sort of protection applied to it in the past. But the most important part is, again, with the paintwork, clay it, get nice and smooth, get all the contamination off there, and then you can apply your sealant. Now, what you're saying about sealant's not lasting depends on what you use. So obviously something like Repel normally lasts around about 4 to 5 months. If you do like a double coat. In winter, obviously, that's going to be reduced because, like you say, the amount that you use your wipers and your screen wash is going to degrade a protection.
Yes.
Unless you're putting something in the washer bottle that's going to boost it, like Shield. So that would work. That would help you maintain that longer throughout winter. Also, as well, obviously, when you're using your screen wash, depending on what your screen wash is, that can also degrade it as well. So if you've got a high strength screen wash that's, you know, diluted for winter, that can have a bigger impact on protection on your glass.
Which most winter screen washes are, aren't they?
Most of them are dilutable, aren't they? So, you know, you pick your dilution, don't you? And they say if you're using it in really bad conditions, you might use it neat. That's always going to have an impact on a protection. So your most effective protection for glass would obviously be ceramic. You know, but not everyone wants to go down that route. So your spray glass sealants like your Repel, that will work as well. But I would recommend getting some Shield if you want to top it up. And that will help it last through the winter months then. But for your rear window, unfortunately, you're going to have to keep washing it. Because no matter how much glass sealant you put in a rear window, because like say you're not getting the airflow, it doesn't clear the same.
And obviously, making sure your wipers are clean. A lot of people don't clean the wipers properly, do they? Or don't realise they haven't cleaned them or whatever. So,
you know, a tip that I would give people is whenever you wash your car, just give your wiper blades a quick clean as well. So all you got to do is grab yourself a bit of crystal, in either a microfiber towel or a paper towel or whatever, and just run up and down the blades a few times just to get rid of stuff. You'd be surprised how many scratches and marks on windscreens come from that. Because you've got a bit of grit or something trapped on the rubber of the wiper blade, you don't realise it. You keep using your wipers, and then by the time winter's finished, you're like, "Where will them scratches come from on my glass?"
Well, like you said, even when you've washed your car, if you use like a white microfiber, spray a bit of crystal on and wipe it, still the amount of dirt that comes off your blade is unbelievable.
It's same as when you do your wheels, isn't it, and your tyres. You know, you think your tyres are clean, and you put some citrus on it, you give them a scrub, and the amount of rubbish and grime that comes out of the sidewalls is, you know, you wouldn't think it. So when you're using products for glass, cleaning your wipers is just as important as cleaning your glass, essentially, especially for winter.
There you go. Top tip from Kev.
Top tip. Kev's top tip.
Or
Kev's
a hot tip if you watch Nick on the live video yesterday.
Next hot tip.
No,
I watched for about 5 minutes and I got bored of listening to Nick.
We don't need Nick's hot tip.
You do.
No.
So if people haven't seen the video, Kev, give it a quick plug while you. What was the video about yesterday?
What was yesterday's live video about? We did some interior cleaning yesterday. So we showed a couple of different products. We also did a quick how-to of how to apply our ceramic ultra spray wax, which was a popular request.
Well, that's ideal for winter then, if you have got a ceramic, isn't it?
Yeah, if you've got a coating on there. So if you've got your ceramic coating on, and again, you want an extra layer of protection, ceramic ultra spray wax.
So go check out the video from yesterday, which would have been Wednesday the
Wednesday the yesterday
the 11th.
Wednesday the 11th.
Thanks,
Adam.
Yes.
So cool. We're saying check out the video from yesterday. We're probably releasing this on the weekend. So
yeah, so check out
the video from Wednesday.
Wednesday, because this will be released on Sunday.
it's like
being it's hard work.
It's time travel works on, isn't it?
It is.
It does.
You've got to think ahead to think what's
you could be
the
new doctor, Kev. Because yeah. There's going to be, I think, Jodie Whittaker. Is it Jodie Whittaker?
I think
she's
so,
finished,
yeah.
Actually.
Yeah, she's...
You can be the 631st doctor.
Yeah, you could be on the Christmas special.
He's special, but...
What the hell was that?
That's all year round and not Christmas.
Is that the Auto Bright Ghost?
I think so.
I think that was someone revving something tasty outside.
Something tasty.
Is that Mark's secret microphone?
Yeah, so, okay. So, in terms of prep then, like we said, important to do the normal wash techniques. Get your paperwork nice and clean. Chemical fallout removal with Purple Rain. Tar removal as well, because tar's a big thing, especially, obviously, in summer, you pick up a lot more tar. Yeah. I don't know if you can hear that on the mic. But you need to get that off before you apply a protection. And then once you've, obviously, decontaminated it, clayed it, got it nice and smooth, then you can pick your protection. So we're not going to necessarily go into detail about the products, because obviously we've covered those on the six steps, but you've got mainly three different types of protection to use, obviously for winter protection or for summer protection. So you've got waxes, you've got sealants, and you've got ceramic coatings. So the most durable one is obviously going to be your ceramic coating. So the 5-year ceramic coating that we do, that's going to be the most durable. However, obviously not everyone can apply ceramic or has got the conditions to apply ceramic. So if you've not got access to an indoor area, especially if you're doing this in winter, because as Adam says, don't forget, you ain't going to be applying a ceramic coating outside in colder temperatures, especially if you've missed your,
I think,
you
know, I said your, that,
your window. Well, somebody said it. You said it. I'm not listening to either of you. And then...
No change there.
The next sort of step down from that is you've got your synthetic sealants. So you've got your Abyss, you've got your Supersonic. Abyss, great product. Can last 9 months or so. Mm-hmm. So if you like Abyss and you want to use that, that's fine. You can do that.
Love the stuff.
Yeah, great stuff, especially for...
Can't drink it.
Again, don't forget protecting your plastic trims as well. Yeah. So, you know, it's a long-lasting dressing that can be used on trims as well. Or you can go down the Supersonic route. So Supersonic, 12
again,
months.
Love that stuff as well.
So
easy to apply and great durability.
Yeah, both of those are easy to work with. Going back to, again, what we said about temperature. So Abyss is less forgiving in colder temperatures, as we know. Especially if you're using the liquid Abyss, it does tend to sort of congeal a little bit as it gets colder.
Yeah.
So if you want to use that, my recommendation would be to warm it up before you use it.
Keep it indoors.
Well, keep it indoors, or if you haven't kept it indoors, you're going to want to drop it in a mug of warm water or something just to heat it up a little bit, and then you can apply it. But again, if the ambient sort of temperature and the air temperature is cold, I would probably be more inclined to go with Supersonic, because it's going to be easier.
Well, we've got the Ultra Spray Wax, haven't we?
The Ultra Spray Wax, but again... Yeah. You're going to find a sort of a thinner sort of polymer-based sealant is going to be easy to apply in cold temperatures than a liquid wax or a liquid sealant like Abyss. So I would probably go down the Supersonic route. don't forget, you can also use Supersonic QD to maintain it as well. So on the odd occasion that you do get to do a half-decent wash throughout winter, you can apply Supersonic QD, can use it as you're drying it, so that makes it a little bit quicker, a little bit easier. But that will help to maintain your protection as well throughout the winter months.
Very nice.
So that was my recommendation. And like Dale says, you can use it on wheels and stuff as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Use it on pretty much everything.
Supersonic's great.
But if people haven't got those products and they've still got waxes they want to use up, Kev?
Waxes, you're going to find that most waxes will probably not last through winter. Especially if you're doing a lot of frequent washing. There are exceptions to that. Obviously, if you've got a wax that's got like a hybrid wax, or if it's a synthetic.
Ballard.
Yeah, Ballard, for example. So if you've got a wax with a ceramic in it, obviously that's going to give you a bit more protection. But your standard Carnauba waxes, or your high gloss show waxes, they're not going to give the durability to make it through a harsh winter. Maybe if you have a mild winter, you'd probably be all right. Or if you are regularly washing and topping it up with something else,
you'll degrade maintaining it.
So if you're regularly washing a car with a standard wax on, obviously you're removing it every time you wash it, you're abrading it. But what you do then to counter that is you'd apply something on top of that to add a little bit more protection, so you're putting something back. Mm-hmm. Top gloss will work reasonably well for that. Again, obviously we've already said not a massive durability on that. Supersonic QD, great. That's a great product for that, because, like I say, you can use that as you're drying it. Or, you know, if you've got a wax on top of there, you're probably not going to be reapplying a wax, especially if it's a paste wax. But you may get over it. You may get around like using Carbon Uber. Mm-hmm. You could possibly use that. Again, we don't normally recommend mixing two different types of wax, but if that's all you've got and you want to just add a little bit of protection, you could go with that as well.
Cool.
So that's the prep sort of thing sorted. So then you've got the maintenance side, which is, I think, everyone's least favourite part of winter.
Oh, yeah. Trying to wash your car when it's cold and miserable, or...
Well, let's face it, no one wants to be outside if it's cold and miserable, do they?
No.
I'd recommend you get yourself a Nick.
A Nick.
Or an eighth.
Or an eighth.
Nick or an eighth.
I recommend you getting an eighth on the live video.
Did you?
Yeah.
Ah.
If you've got a car that, you know, you're not comfortable cleaning it, or get yourself an eighth.
Get yourself an eighth.
Yeah.
He'll clean it for
eighth,
you.
Go do that. An eighth, go do that.
So he's a gopher?
Well, you get no...
if you're close by, you can always drop us an email.
Yep.
And we can...
We can get an eighth to
slot
do it.
Yeah, well, we've got an eighth, so...
You get no talking back from Nath yet.
We can hire the Nath out for a small fee.
So back to maintenance then, Kev.
Back to maintenance. So if you have gone through the preparation stages and you've applied a decent level of protection, what would you then do to maintain it? So your normal wash technique that you do in summer, which would be your wheels, your pre-wash, your snow foam, your two-bucket wash, all that sort of stuff can still be used in winter. And in fact, the two-bucket wash method is probably more important in winter than it is in summer.
Yeah.
Because obviously the extra build-up of contamination and, as we've already said, road salt.
Yeah.
I'll say road it again, salt. Salt. So that's more important throughout winter. But I'd say we understand that not everybody wants to be outside in winter.
No.
If it's cold, it's miserable.
You do want to, to be fair, you do want to reduce your time down there. You don't want
to be standing outside for you. Yeah, I mean... Exactly. A decently paced maintenance wash in summer, you're looking maybe 40 minutes, 45 minutes, something like that, to do everything from start to finish. In winter, you want it to be washed within like 10 minutes, don't you, really? You don't want to be outside for much longer than that. So
you want to, obviously you want to do it properly, but you want to reduce your time out.
You've got two options, realistically. You've got your contact wash and you've got a contactless wash that you can do in winter. Now, obviously a contact wash is always going to be preferable. So that's always going to be better. You're going to get more of that contamination off there. You're going to ensure that you're not going to swirl it, et cetera, et cetera. But a contactless wash, this is probably the only time that I would recommend maybe doing this, is just to get the salt and the grime off.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, a lot of it can be down to a sort of safety thing. You know, if your number plates are dirty, you know, if your lights are dirty, they're all issues that...
It's legal.
It can get you in trouble. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Obviously, like... Adam says, if you've got a rear wiper delete and you can't see through your back window, you need to clean your back window. So that needs to be done more frequently. So what I would do in that case is use something like your citrus wash. So you're going to pre-wash it. I mean, again, depending on what you're doing with your wheels, you can probably brush your wheels. That's not going to take that much time. But citrus, snow foam, rinse, and then top gloss. That's what I would recommend normally for a basic...
What sort of snow foams would we be recommending through winter?
I'd be using Magi in winter.
Magifoam.
Magifoam's
the strongest
one. It's got more cutting power, again, citrus. Obviously, citrus is dilatable. So if you normally use it in summer at, say, 50 to 1, in winter I'd maybe drop that to maybe 20 to 1.
Yeah, 20 to 1, yeah.
10 to 1, maybe. You don't really want to go much stronger than that, because if you get into sort of 5 to 1 or you're using it neat... you are going to have an impact on whatever protection you've got on there, unless it is a ceramic coating.
So it depends on how many miles you're doing, don't you? Like if you're a rep and you're up and down the motorway 5 days, your car's going to be caked.
I mean, chances are, to be honest, if you're a rep and you're up and down the motorway all the time, you're going to be calling in at roadside car washes, aren't you? You're going to be having TFR sprayed all over it. So, you know, it's one of them. If you're doing it yourself and you just want a quick and easy way to do it, then do your pre-washes, so your citrus, your snow foam, and then rinse it and then just top gloss it. Obviously, you can't dry it because you've not actually physically washed it. It's not going to be perfect. There are going to be still some marks on there, still going to be some dirt on there, but you've reduced the amount of contamination. The most important thing is getting the road salt off, as we've already said.
That's it.
Road salt is going to eat through your protection. If you've got no protection on there, it's going to start to eat through your, you know, paint is going to start corroding all your metal and your aluminium components and stuff. Most important thing in winter for long-lasting sort of welfare of your car as well is to make sure you thoroughly rinse under the arches.
Yeah.
And you get rid of all that road salt and grime from underneath as well. So again, depending if you've got a, you know, an SUV style car where you can actually get underneath, it's always worth giving it a blast underneath as well, just to get that stuff off. Or invest in an underbody cleaner.
Yes.
Which is quite handy.
Aye.
But if you're going to go down the two bucket wash route, as we've already said, just make sure it's not too cold. Use a little bit of warm water just to make it a bit more comfortable, and get done as quickly as possible and get back in the house and get a brew.
Get warmed up. Yeah.
That's the beauty of these shotguns, isn't it, with the arches now. You can get right under the arches with these shotguns.
Yeah.
It's really effective.
Obviously, citrus, you know, you can spray citrus on your arches, leave it to dwell, you know, while you're doing your wheels or whatever else you're doing, and then go back and give it a rinse, and that'll remove a lot of the stuff from under there. Yeah. As we said in the prep stages, you know, if you've taken your wheels off at some point, you can use engine protectant. That can protect all your suspension components, so you can just spray that on there, let it dry, and then that'll help to keep some of the salt at bay throughout the winter as well. So, let's face it, not many people are going to be ruining older cars through winter, like a classic car, are they? But
no.
If you've got an older car, maybe like what we're calling now, like a modern sort of retro car, you know, Cavalier or whatever that you're running through winter, they are a lot more prone to underbody corrosion.
And Vauxhalls.
Yeah. So it makes sense to, you know, if you go into the extreme of taking the wheels off to do them before winter, of putting some sort of protection within the arches and stuff. So while talking about corrosion and rust, that brings us on to motorbikes.
Oh.
And I think this
is everyone looking at me?
Where Dale's got a bit of input, because you are Mr. Motorbike.
Motorbike man.
Mr. Motivator.
Mr. Motorbike. I'm the inventor of motorbikes, Gav.
No, but you're the only decent biker. There is another biker here, but I'd say you're the only decent biker.
Ash, he's a newbie.
So I mean, he ain't got a clue yet.
He doesn't even get the respected nod yet. He hasn't earned it.
What about Ryan? He says he's a biker.
Ryan did 3 CBTs. You're more of a biker than him with your mountain bike.
Yeah, that is true.
So basically, again, if you're an all year round rider, it is the corrosion factor. It's the salt that, you know, destroys a lot of bikes. Even, you know, modern day bikes, if you've got a new one, salt, because obviously you've got open engine components. Even if you've got a fared race bike, which you probably don't see many about as commuters because they're more like toys. So the commuters are probably more exposed where you can see the engine, and obviously you want to try and protect that as much as you can. Now, stuff like our engine protectant will help that a little bit. I personally use a supersonic sealant, because it's a really good, it's durable, it's got heat resistant properties in, so
he's told me a couple of times you use it on your engine casing.
My mates used it on his Harley, and you know, he was raving about it because he's like, oh, I don't know if this will last, but you know, it does, it lasts. So there is other products on the market what people use, but I use these and they work really well, again, along with, like Kev said before, Abyss. Abyss for your paint or plastic there, that'll offer you protection. You get great beading off that. It smells amazing as well.
Yeah,
and it's so easy to apply. But yeah, basically, you're supersonic. You can just buy that and use it on everything on your bike.
Yeah,
wheels, engine, fairings, plastics, screen.
Yep.
Obviously, you know, not your foot pegs and your seat and things like that. But
not unless you want to be sliding off as you accelerate.
And then once you've got that level of protection on, like I've said, something like supersonic QD, every time you just give your bike equipment off.
I mean, the main issue obviously you're going to have with bikes, I'm guessing, is it's not just the fact that everything's more exposed, but obviously you've also got a combination of heat. So you've got heat, salt, moisture. That always promotes corrosion, doesn't it? Whenever it's warmer.
You've got a lot of places where water sits as well once you've washed your bike.
And
it doesn't drain, so, you know. We've got like the automated blowers here, and I highly recommend getting one out. I think we're getting some in soon.
Yeah.
We're all looking at some, aren't we? So, you know, I couldn't recommend one of them enough.
An air dryer is a must for a motorbike, really, isn't it? To get
obviously chuck it on your side stand, let all the water drain as much as you can, because your radiator hold a lot of water as well, or your oil cooler, whatever you've got on your bike. Let as much water as you can, pat dry it, and then just get your air dryer out and try and get as much moisture out as you can.
I mean, I'm guessing, like I say, the majority of sort of winter riders are going to be using commuter-style sort of non-fared bikes, aren't they?
You're not going to see, like, you know, a £30,000 chromed-up Harley around through winter as much. No. I'm not saying there ain't guys out there that do it, because there is.
Yeah.
But obviously, a lot of them bikes, you know, they're big investments, and they're just for enjoyment purposes only, not commuting. So 9 times out of 10, people have got like a cheaper bike for a commuter, and they're not as bothered, but they still want to.
Oh yeah, still want to maintain it.
Still want to maintain it.
I've seen, obviously, you know, I've seen bikes where people have had them from new and ran them through winter and not protected them. And within 12 or 18 months, they look like they're about 7 or 8 years old.
Yeah, or you get all your paint starting flake off, you know, you've got loads of like rusty look there. Because obviously, if it's a cheaper bike, it might not have stainless steel bolts and banjos and things like that. So, you know, that's your main corrosion parts where they're getting high impact. And
most of the commuter bikes as well that I've seen tend to be still have Y wheels, you know, like the spoked wheels,
They do. A lot of them have spoked wheels. I mean,
they're not like race bikes where a lot of them are forged or cast.
Yeah,
they're spoked.
A lot of the scooters now, like the mopeds or scooters, if you like,
they'll have cast wheels.
They have cast. Mm. So it just depends. Again, trying to put some protection on a spoked wheel is really hard because it takes a lot of time.
Yeah. But it's time well spent.
It's time well spent. I've got spoked wheels on my Anfield, and you know I haven't ceramic them because I couldn't be bothered to go that far. But I have sealed them with.
Yeah, that's never going to come out when there's a hint of moisture in the air.
Well,
is
that's it. That's me. That's me. Tiger anything that runs through winter. So. There you go. And again, it's like stuff like your chain, keeping that clean and keeping it lubricated through winter, because, again, it's a high-impact area. But if you've got any questions, guys, you can always email in about bikes, and then we'll be doing a specific podcast on our new range that's coming out very soon, won't we, Kev?
We will indeed, yep.
So where did the email end to, Adam? It's adpodcast@autobrightdirect.com.
That's the one.
Or any of our social media platforms.
Yes, or any of our other email addresses
that
you may find.
So, is it about that time, Kev?
I think it is about that time. So, it's that time.
It's that time.
You know what time that is, Adam?
It's Talking Pants time.
Is it Talking Pants time?
Talking Pants.
Adam didn't miss out.
Oh,
he's not used to it, is he?
Go on, Adam.
I didn't get that.
Go on, Adam. We'll let you go.
Let me go. All right. See you in a bit. Oh, you mean go? Right. So the Talking Pants fact for this week is the top paid Victoria's Secret model.
Hang on. Why just pull out Victoria's Secrets?
Does that
say something about your character there, Adam?
Well, I don't know. Is that a Victoria's Secret catalogue he's got under the table over there?
No, I think he's just pleased to see us, Kev.
I thought he was a rolled-up catalogue.
Oh, dear.
Maybe a leaflet. Let's not go catalogue.
Lowering the tone as soon as I mention Victoria's Secret.
Well, yeah, that's what happens.
Yeah, so a Victoria's Secret model gets paid for walking around in pants.
Sounds good.
Do you know how much they get paid?
£3.
$5 million a year.
$5 million.
Million. I
walking
almost
around in your skids.
Yeah, that's it.
They better not be skids for $5 million a year.
Yeah.
We'll be skid free.
With a name like Giselle.
Oh, yeah.
And
isn't that some kind of deer?
No, that's a gazelle.
Gazelle.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Spelled different. It's also kind of trainer as well.
Yeah, it is. So, yeah, for walking around.
You know a lot about this Giselle, whatever her name is.
I don't know her surname. Right. She gallops.
I bet you do know her surname, you just can't pronounce it, can you?
It could be that. But yeah, $5 million for walking around in underwear.
In the wrong job.
Would you walk around in pants?
For $5 million?
I'd pay $5 million to see you walk around in pants, to be fair.
That's very true.
For $5 million, damn right I would.
Yeah, that's it. But yeah.
What would... Would Nicole let you, Kev?
She'd make me for $5 million a year. I wouldn't have a choice in the matter. She'd be like, get out.
Yeah. She finally wouldn't mind washing your pants.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Oh.
Well, that's a great pant fact, Adam, that is.
Thank you very much.
So, what have we got to talk about during this Talking Pants?
The pant fact, we just did it.
Is that it?
Is that it?
Got nothing else to say?
No pants.
Non-AD related or anything.
Are we getting any AD pants soon or what?
Mm.
Oh, I have seen...
I think Mr Moss has...
I've seen Mark's browser history and it's quite disturbing, so I'd say so, maybe.
We talk pants. We may as well sell pants.
Was it something like men's pants, Gav?
So it might have been men's pants. Hey, I don't know.
I wonder if we can get a gazelle to wear some of our pants.
AD pants?
Yeah, on the Victoria's Secret catwalk.
To get a gazelle? Or Giselle?
Do you think Mark will pay, do you think Mark will pay $5 million?
I don't think he'd pay $5 million, but...
He might pay £5.50.
Yeah.
And a free bottle of cherry glazes on it.
No, you got too far there, Gav.
Oh, okay, yeah. Just a bottle of cherry glazer.
So, out of the AD staff, who do you think who'd model the underpants on, Kev?
Who do I think would model them? Or do you,
yeah.
I know who I think would model them.
Marky P.
100%.
Marky P. and model them, definitely. Whether you'd want to see him model them is a different story.
So, if you'd like to see Marky P. modelling our new AD in underpants, pants. If they ever happen, then... Let us know.
Thing is, though, we'd want a pink pair.
Yeah, you'd actually want a rainbow pair.
Rainbow pair of pants.
Pink, purple, yellow, you know.
What kind of pants would they be? Would they be wire fronts, briefs, boxers, jockeys?
I'm going to guess and say they'd have to be boxers.
Yeah.
I couldn't. I really wouldn't want to see some Autobrite wire fronts, to be honest.
No.
Tighty whities.
They'd probably come pre-printed. With the brown streak down the back, won't they, really? Think about it.
Why?
Because it'd be a great novelty pair, won't it, at Christmas? Pre-worn pants.
can you imagine all the dads on Christmas Day? They'd be loving them, wouldn't they?
You give them your message and you keep washing them. Yeah. Try and get the stains out. Actually printed on the material.
Don't wear me pants in the bin.
Why are they in the bin?
I've all just had them.
Couldn't get the stain off. I haven't even worn them yet.
Straight out of the box, straight in the bin.
Yeah, but Kev,
not wearing them.
Pants are for life, not just for Christmas.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you listen to some of the previous pant facts we talked about, the amount of pants men buy, apparently, we do have pants for life.
There we go.
We only really get rid of them when there's next to no material left.
Yeah, but they're the comfiest ones.
Well, yeah.
So, if you got like a brown streak on the back, Kev, what would you have on the front?
Oh, dear.
It'd have to be a slightly yellowish tinge to the front, I suppose.
Kev, that's too far.
I'd tell you to drink more. You're dehydrated.
I suppose it comes out green.
Ugh.
So you got to worry.
I think we ought to save this for the X-rated podcast we're doing.
I think we've just started, haven't we?
We dipped his toe in the water with that, Kev.
Yeah, dipped his toe in the water and now we're seeing if we get it bitten off.
Yeah,
so we may as well do a few announcements while we're in this, but I don't know, we've got our... Sizzle and Shine, Kev.
Sizzle and Shine. Fantastic name, that is. I wonder where that came from.
I haven't got the button for do the tumbleweed, Kev.
Would you like to do it for
Yes.
you? There you go. It's actually marked as tumbleweed, but it's more like the top of Mount Everest.
So where did it come from then, Kev?
The Sizzle and Shine?
Yeah.
That might have been one of my ideas.
You had an idea?
I have plenty of ideas.
So
you had a decent idea.
So the Sizzle and Shine meet then, Kev. Tell us about it.
It's going to be a Sizzle and Shine meet. So
what's the sizzle?
The sizzle is the fact we're going to have a barbecue. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a barbecue style thing on site. And it's going to be like a...
Style thing?
Yeah.
It's been sorted out while I've been off, so I'm guessing it's going to be like a rotisserie style barbecue, burgers, that sort of thing.
Very nice.
Hopefully the weather's going to be... Decent.
No, it's going to be decent, Kev.
Yeah.
I've put a request in.
Oh, have you? Formal request.
Yeah, upstairs. Make sure it's sunny on the 11th of September.
So what we're doing, guys, is we're having a sort of late evening meet. So time, was it 4 till 8?
4 till 8, yeah. The shop's open all day, as usual.
Yep.
9 till 4, isn't it, Dad?
Yep. 9 till 4.
And then, from 4 p.m. till 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. is our big summer meet. We've got some cracking tunes.
Big summer meet? No, we've done that.
We've got some cracking tunes. We're going to have
Sizzle and Shine meet.
Sizzle and Shine.
Well, it's the end of summer.
It's the end of summer, yeah.
What?
That's it.
Kev's lost.
he went back in time to the big summer meet.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. So who can attend, Kev? Have you got a book in or can they just turn up?
So what we're doing with this meet is we're going to hold it like we do with a normal CCC meet. So just turn up. What we're going to do is obviously there may be some discount available on the day, I think. I've heard rumours. So if you want to attend, just turn up. Obviously, first come, first served. It's not going to be like the summer meet. You're not going to send out invites or anything like that. It is first come, first served.
Just rock up.
Yeah.
should be a really good night, to be fair. It's going to be a lot chilled. Kev? Yeah. Yeah, any vehicle. Bikes. So bikes, cars, trucks. Trucks. Obviously, if you bring a truck,
don't bring the trailer.
Do let us know first, to be honest, to make sure we've got enough room. But yeah, anything you want to bring, that's fine.
Hovercraft.
That'd be cool.
Oh, yeah, well, if someone's got an Apache.
Yeah.
Again, that'd be cool. Give us a heads up first, so we can clear you some landing space.
Yeah.
You might not want to try and land here, but you could always land on B&Q.
If there's any guys in the RAF out there, please bring a Chinook. That would be awesome.
I don't think we've got room for one of them, to be fair.
We'll get one on the road.
Okay.
Yeah. Or a tank. How cool would a tank be?
Yeah, just bring an ass Challenger.
A tank?
Yeah, just bring a Challenger down. We'll be sound.
I'd drive a tank.
Yeah.
About 2 miles to the gallon.
You do drive a tank.
I don't drive a tank. You do? Just because it sounds like a tank.
Yeah. It's diesel.
It's a weasel.
It's a weasel.
Weasley.
Yeah. So, cool.
Didn't you also mention something about music?
Yeah. We've.
So is that going to be with our new AD resident DJ?
Yeah. Mr. DJ Prince.
DJ Prince.
Oh, is it me?
DJ Prince Sippy.
Oh, thanks. Are we also going to have some compares on the mic?
Yeah, we've got four mics with our new DJ disco system, setup. Whatever you want to call it.
If you want formal requests, they can be handed to us in an envelope with £5 note.
We'll play anything you want as long as it's from the 90s.
What about the Mexican hat dance?
Nope.
Have we got a Mexican hat dance?
If we get requested that, the person who requests that may be shot, I'm afraid. And if you start putting it on, there will be trouble. Yeah, I'm going to have to...
So, hang on. So,
guard the controls at all times.
If Nicole comes to Sizzle and Shine and requests the Mexican hat dance, what are you going to do then?
Then I shall play.
There we go. So, Nicole, if you listen to this
place.
See?
See.
I know.
See.
Okay, so, anything else? Any other announcements?
There's plenty of stuff in the pipeline. We just can't, unfortunately, give anything away just yet.
Yeah, that's it. We've got to keep it under our sombrero.
Yes, and you can keep a lot under a sombrero.
You can.
We are working away behind the scenes on quite a few new and exciting ventures, products, new additions to the website, things like that. So, cool. So keep them peeled. Hopefully, we'll be able to tell you more soon. Yeah. As soon as we're actually in a position to... get everything ready to go. We'll tell you more.
Yeah, the latest products that we've had online and in the shop have been flying out. So
and what are they?
The snow foams, jelly bean, and
Palmer Violet.
Yep. We've had Quick Shine, which has replaced
Berry Blast.
We've had Classy, which is taken over from
Dungeon Master. Yep. That smells amazing. That stuff.
Yeah, Shield. Obviously, that's been flying out as well.
Did you come up with that name?
I don't know.
No, Kev. It's just
hold on.
It's a long way down.
It is.
Rude.
The thing is,
I do believe Dale came up with that name, to be fair. It's all right.
Who put a church at the top of Everest?
I don't know. It's marked on the Mark's mixing desk over here as Tumbleweed. It's not.
We need update that sound button, don't we?
Everest, yeah.
So. Are we wrapping this up then?
Yes, I think we should wrap it up.
Dinner time, I'm starving.
Always thinking about his gut.
I'm actually quite hungry myself, to be fair.
You don't get a body like mine, Adam, without,
without thinking about food.
Yeah,
well, there is that.
I'm guessing then Adam must dress a lot.
Yeah.
Well, he's got no hair.
That's what I mean. Right.
That's the one.
Me and Kev stress eat.
Adam just
pulls his hair out.
Yeah. That's the one.
Right, okay, guys, thanks for listening. Hope you found this one informative, and we will catch you for the next one.
Yes.
Thanks for listening.
Cheers,
guys and girls, and we'll speak to you all soon.
See you soon.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Tune in next time to the Autobrite Direct podcast. Because looks are everything. Get down.